Let us stand and sing The Church's One Foundation is Jesus Christ the Lord, hymn number 26 in your book.
I have a very peculiar joy in introducing the next one on the program. It isn't often that I get to introduce the Executive Secretary of Women's Missionary Union, and so I hardly know how to begin. It is impossible for me to tell you of the work that she does. Most of you know a great deal about it. There are many things I could tell you. The long hours that she works, both day and night, and she wouldn't want me to tell you that, and so I won't. But our executive secretary stands high among Southern Baptists. She is recognized throughout our convention and around the world as a wonderful executive leader. We're so grateful to have Miss Alma Hunt as our secretary. We appreciate the work that she does. When we discussed the program of this convention, I'm not sure that I asked her, I think I told her, that we were going to divide her report and have her bring a portion of it this afternoon and tonight and tomorrow. And she demurred and insisted that her name not appear in print three times, but it's there three times. And so she isn't always the executive, just occasionally. Then personally, I would like to say to you this afternoon that it is a great joy to work with her, to travel with her, to be in committee meetings with her. to talk with her by telephone, to plan for the work of our union. And I thank the Lord daily that I have this opportunity to work alongside Miss Alma Hunt and all of those in our staff, many of them at home in Birmingham working while we're here. I thank the Lord for the privilege that is mine in working alongside these staff members with Miss Hunt as Executive Secretary. And so a portion of her report comes this afternoon, and she will have charge of a part of the program for the afternoon. Miss Hunt.
As we talked about this part of the program, we realize that there is a relationship between the week of prayer for home missions and the emphasis that our whole denomination, the Baptists of seven conventions of this country and our own Southern Baptist Convention, will have next year as we focus our attention on the 30,000 movement or on church extension. And so we have pulled these together today under the very wonderful title, which is the theme of our meeting, Witnesses, Witnessing. We shall be witnesses. And surely the program has been planned with the hope that each one of us, because of the experience of these days, will return to our home places, wherever we live, wherever we work, wherever we hold our church membership, to take up the task of witnessing more fervently than we have in the past. Now, all of us are wondering just how we are getting along with the Annie Armstrong offering of 1961. On Friday afternoon, a telegram came to Mrs. Mathis and me after we reached St. Louis. It came from Dr. Redford's office, and it isn't very nice for me to take that message right now when he's on the platform and is coming to speak shortly. But surely I want to have the privilege of giving you in round numbers what that offering was as of last Friday, $1,425,000. Now, you are aware of the goal, and you are aware that this does not bring us anywhere near our goal yet. And so I shall leave it to Dr. Redford to tell us when he comes to speak just how well we are getting along according to the date this time a year ago. But you who have prayed during the Week of Prayer for Home Missions this year are aware that we had set aside the first $2 million in the allocations to support the regular work of the Home Mission Board, the work that is already established, to pay the salaries of missionaries already appointed under this board, to keep the wheels of the Home Mission Board work going. And you see by the figure that I have just given you that to date we have not yet reached that first $2 million which the board needs very, very desperately for its operating budget. The next $220,000 was allocated for church buildings, for mission buildings. Some of these are church buildings. Some of them are mission centers. Oh, I wonder if you can be aware how important mission buildings are to the cause of home missions, to the spread of the gospel here in this country. I was reminded of it last week when a letter came from one of our missionaries, week before last, I believe it was. It was dated May the 10th, 1961. Now, this letter was not a personal letter to me. It was a letter that this missionary has sent out, I'm sure, to maybe some of you. And the salutation is, "Dear friends," which includes all of us. Now, listen. If you could visit with us, you would find the mission buzzing with activity every morning, afternoon, and three nights each week as kindergarten and school-aged children and young people and adults come for Bible, music, crafts, and play. In April, there were 585 different people in classes. It takes the five of us missionaries plus the 50 or more volunteers to keep the program moving. Then this missionary wrote a paragraph about the kindergarten and the Goodwill Center, and she wrote a paragraph about the beginner group, a paragraph about the 27 babies in the nursery there at that Goodwill Center, a paragraph about a teenage girl who has problems and needs guidance. And then she wrote this paragraph. "I explained about being saved, believing, and trusting in Jesus to a young mother of three children this week. God gave me the words and the ability to lead her to Jesus as we read and discussed the marked verses in the Bible which I brought to her. I knew immediately when she understood and accepted Christ. As she started to pray, all that came out was, "Oh God," then tears. And then I tried to pray. It was a wonderful experience. Please pray for this mother as she is trying to get enough courage to ask for church membership. Now, this $220,000, which we have allocated for mission buildings, goes for buildings such as this. For this particular Goodwill Center has a building that was built with Annie Armstrong offering funds. And you can see from this letter what a wonderful ministry is carried on through the activities of this Goodwill Center. Now, the money that we have allocated, this $220,000 for buildings, is about 40% of the total building costs of 24 mission buildings that are badly needed. Now, we have to reach our $2 million for the operating budget. And then we begin on this $220,000 for these buildings. Can't you see that in 24 areas of our homeland, the work will be greatly enhanced if these buildings are provided through this 1961 Annie Armstrong offering? And can't you see that the work will be greatly impeded if we fail to reach the goal of our offering and provide these buildings? But the goal of the offering includes even more than this $2 million for operating expenses and the $220,000 for mission buildings. The goal for this year included another $250,000 for the Church Sites Fund of the Home Mission Board. And you will recall that in all the publicity, we told you that all of the money over and above this figure would go also for the Church Sites Fund. This is a most important work and ties in perfectly with our 30,000 movement. It is difficult for those of us who live in areas where Baptist work has long been established to be aware of the need for church sites, of the vast areas where there are no churches. I was reminded of this by a little story that was on a brochure that the Home Mission Board put out several years ago. I think I was attracted to it because of the picture on the front of it, as we so often are. This brochure had the picture of a little girl, 3 or 4 years of age, a tiny little thing. She had a little hat on, and she was just about to ruin the hat by pulling it down over her ears, both hands clutching that hat. And the caption under it said, "No church for Marie." And it went something like this. It is 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. It is the time that in many homes, in many of our Baptist homes, it is the most wonderful hour of the week. Shoes are polished. Little faces are scrubbed clean. Clean dresses are out for the little girls, clean clothes for the little boys. They are anticipating going to Sunday school. But there is no church for Marie. For Marie lives in an area where there is no Baptist church. And Sunday for her is little different from any other day. Now, it is hard for us to realize that there are many areas where there is no Baptist church, where there are little girls like Marie with no church to go to on Sunday morning. But there are literally thousands, according to the surveys, thousands of people who live in rural areas, who live in suburban areas of our great cities, who live in the wide open spaces in some parts of our country, who live beyond the reach of a Baptist church. Now, the Church Sites Fund enables the Home Mission Board to purchase land at reasonable prices, at the right time, good locations, so that when missions and churches are established, there will be an opportunity to build a church at an advantageous location. And the Home Mission Board in the last year has voted to charge those churches no interest on that money for the first 2.5 years. And you can see that this would enable a church to get started, get the building started, before it began to meet any interest payments. And so a great forward step in our denominational program will be made if we can make this Church Sites Fund large enough to build, to provide places to build the churches, these 30,000 that were mentioned to us earlier. The allocations for 1962 will no doubt include, again, the Church Sites Fund. And already there is in those allocations, which are in the book that was given to you today, $40,000 for mission pastor support. Now, can't you see how that fits in? These new churches and missions must have pastors, else they will die. And so there is need for the Home Mission Board to have more funds with which to employ pastors to put into the missions and the churches until they are strong enough to pay their own. And so in our 1962 allocations, which are already adopted in part, we have set aside $40,000 to aid in paying for these mission pastors. And so this is a tremendous part of our 30,000 movement. Someone has said that people do not know what the 30,000 movement is. Mrs. Mathis and I insisted in a meeting that Women's Missionary Union members do know. And so if there is a person here who doesn't know, let me say to you that the 30,000 movement is providing churches for little girls like Marie and thousands of others like her. And it is well for us to remember that one half of the churches of our convention have received financial assistance from the Home Mission Board. Now, even before we have the results of the 1961 Annie Armstrong offering, we come to plan the 1962 Week of Prayer for Home Missions and the Annie Armstrong offering. That week comes March the 5th to the 9th. And all during the days of that week, we shall sing the hymn, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blasts and our eternal home. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Be thou our guide while life shall last and our eternal home. Our theme for that week will be taken from the 79th Psalm, Help us, O God, for the glory of thy name. And the poster that was being prepared for our use during that week has uplifted hands showing man's need for divine help. And then there are simulated rays of light from heaven to earth showing the availability of God. These rays of light illumine the hands reaching up for help. The program is designed to open our eyes to the needs in our homeland and the opportunity we have to support the work of the Home Mission Board regularly through the cooperative program and at this particular time through the Annie Armstrong offering. To whom is this program directed? To you, to me, to the members of our Women's Missionary Unions in our churches, to the members of the Sunday schools and the training unions and the brotherhoods. Oh, as I took the taxi cab to come here to St. Louis, I had it loaded with luggage, and I said to the taxi driver, I would like to go to 600 North 20th Street. He thought that was not a very good place to take luggage, and so he said, isn't that the Women's Missionary Union building? Yes, I said it is, but I have two more hours in which I can work. And then he said to me, do you work at the Women's Missionary Union? And I said, yes. And he said, my mother all her life loved the Women's Missionary Union. She loved the work of missions. She always attended the prayer sessions and the program meetings. And as I talked with that taxi driver on my way to the office that day, I realized that it was women like his mother who contributed to the heritage that is ours today. And I wanted to remind you of her and of others like her as I spoke today of our heritage in this week of prayer and the opportunities it brings us, that we may get under it as we prepare for and attend and participate in the 1962 Week of Prayer for Home Missions. Now, in thinking of this week of prayer and of our opportunities just ahead, particularly as we give support to the 30,000 movement and to all what we can do as members of Women's Missionary Union, it was our plan to bring to you here in this meeting people who work in churches of various kinds in the hope that you would have your eyes open to see what is accomplished through these churches. How wonderful it was this morning for us to see churches in foreign lands. And Mrs. Mathis reminded you earlier of the need for churches here in the homeland. And so in the minutes that shall follow, we are concentrating on our opportunities here at home, the opportunities that you and I can take hold of in this 30,000 movement. As we talked about it, we first thought of churches out on the fringe areas where there are not many Baptist people, where there are lots of opportunities to build missions, to establish missions and to build churches. And then as we thought further, we realized that we must get some example of a church with a mission from the part of the territory where Baptist work has long been established, for often we overlook the need for churches in those areas. And so we chose one that we were very familiar with, one in the city of Birmingham, where we have more than 100 organized Baptist churches. And yet there was a need for a mission in that church, and a church in that city saw that need for the mission and undertook to establish it. And so this afternoon we have brought here to you the pastor of the mother church and the pastor of the church that was formerly a mission. It's like introducing a father and a son, for that has been the relationship as these two have worked to establish this mission, and as the older one has led the church in the support of this mission in getting it started. And so we present to you Dr. James Butler of Birmingham, Alabama, the pastor of the Mother Church. And after Dr. Butler has spoken, Mr. John Buchanan, Jr., the pastor of the mission, which is now a church, will come and tell you about that church, its beginning and its growth. Dr. Butler.
Mathis, Miss Hunt, it's a marvelous privilege to be here this afternoon. About 75 or 40 years ago, when I was a junior boy and was a sunbeam, I never thought, and that during that time, the first time I ever had any ambrosia, the first time I ever saw ambrosia, to know what it was, I had to ask. It was in a sunbeam band. Little did I think then that when the WMU or the Sunbeams were celebrating their 75th anniversary, that I would have the privilege of being on their program. I'm from Birmingham, the magic city of the South, which has, Miss Alma, 135 Baptist churches and an association, I think, one of the finest in the Southern Baptist Convention. We have an association with a budget of something like $65,000, which is not nearly enough. But our association believes in missions. Whenever we can get a church in our association to establish a new mission point, it is the custom of our church, when we are able to do it, and we have been for some time now, to give to that church $2,000 toward the establishment of a mission. It has also been the custom of our state mission board to help in that fashion too. And our church was privileged in that respect. We received $2,000 for the establishment of our mission, the Center Crest Chapel, and we got $1,500 from our state mission board. Within a year's time, we'd established the second mission, and we got another $2,000. And when I went back to the board, I was moderator of the association for 2 years, and it happened during that time. The members of the executive committee said, Brother Jim said, look, what are you trying to do to us? I was trying to get as much money as we could for new missions, and that's why. I called the superintendent of missions for the colored association, Brother Warren, before I left Friday night. And he tells me that there are well over 200 Negro Baptist churches in Birmingham. Now, there are many small ones, of course, but we do have a city of churches. We have over 400 white churches, Baptist, Protestant, and what have you, in the city of Birmingham. How did this happen? Because churches reached out to start missions. From the First Baptist Church in our city, there went out a group on the South Side, and from that mission came the great South Side Baptist Church, which has been one of the greatest churches in our convention. From the South Side Church went the West End Baptist Church, which I was privileged to serve as pastor for 10 years. And from the West End Church, the Burney Points Church, and right on, churches have been being established in Birmingham ever since. But how did I ever get to Center Point? Well, that's a long story, but I'll take a minute to tell you. It was like this. The church at Center Point was without a pastor. The members of the committee asked me if I would let a friend of mine preach in my church so that the committee could come and hear him. Now, some of you who served on pulpit committees know how that works. The West End Baptist Church has a beautiful auditorium. It's one of the best, I think. And they came and listened to him preach and called me as pastor. That's what happened, really. I went out on Tuesday to talk with the committee. I thought about this friend of mine, and he's still my friend, about him. And when I saw the challenge out there, and I said, well, surely he didn't have any equivocation about coming, did he? What did he say? And they said, preacher, don't talk so fast. We'd like to have you to come. Well, I did nearly fall out then. But I've been there since March the 1st, 1957. One wondered why I would leave a church of 2,300 members and take a church of 700 members. Well, I felt the pull and the challenge. And I thought I saw there an opportunity of service, and I think without a question the Lord was in it. This was in a growing section, and one of the fastest growing in the convention and in the southeastern section of our United States. 10 years ago, that section, Center Point, was a town of unincorporated town. It's still unincorporated, of 4,000 people. Today, we have between 10 and 12,000 people in that area. Our church, though pressed for space, felt a need of starting a mission. Now, we were in the process of building. We had a building program on of $107,000 first educational unit. But we still felt that we ought to start a mission. We didn't have the money to do it with. I told you we got some from the state convention and some from the association. But we did what we could. We elected a missions committee. We went out and surveyed a site. We took a census in two areas. We decided upon the recommendation of the commission of the missions committee to start the mission in the Center Crest area instead of the other section where we had also taken a census. We even tried to secure the facilities of an abandoned Negro church, which was in that area. There were no Negroes living in that area then or now. The church has since been torn down. But we failed to get that. But one of the finest families in our church had a lovely home. It was just built more or less for this kind of thing. The yard sloped down to the back, and then you could go right into the basement without even having to climb any stairs. We could put about 95 or 100 people in the basement. They gladly agreed to let us have it, and we started services. We also found five other homes right close by in that on that street where we could have the primary, the beginners, and the nursery, and all of the other departments except the juniors. The juniors met where we had the worship services. Although our church was in a building program and we didn't have much funds, we did and were able to secure enough equipment. We bought a new piano and other things. We were able to enlist the members of our church living in that area, about 19 families, and the nominating committee recommended to our church, and we elected a complete slate of officers: Sunday school superintendent, train union director, brotherhood president, WMU president, and church treasurer, and one of our deacons lived in that area. He was our representative on our board. We elected a church clerk and so on. Our deacons were a little bit worried about how we're in the world we were going to finance it. When I assured them that I did not think that it would cost us anything, I said, I believe that it will be self-supporting from the very beginning. We went ahead and voted to start this mission. Then they wanted to know who was going to do the preaching, and I said, well, I think your pastor can do it for a while at least. And they said, how are you going to do that? We were having double worship services in our church. I was preaching at 8:30, and then we were having Sunday school, and I was preaching again at 11 o'clock. And then again each evening. So this is the way we did it. After the 8:30 service in our church, I took our minister of music. We went up a mile and a half to this house where we were starting our services. I preached there. We had the worship service, and then they had Sunday school in the mission. I rushed back down to my church and preached at 11 o'clock. While our church was having training union at 6 o'clock, we went up and had preaching at the mission. And then they had training union after the worship service. I came back down to the church and preached there. Preaching five times on Sunday, I think, will do any preacher good, at least for a while. It'll help his feelings. He'll be tired, but he'll have a good time. But I want to tell you that on that first Sunday, we had 76 persons present. Our people were thrilled to death. The members of our church were just really blessed beyond measure. And then we had 11 additions. That first service. Now, one of the strange things that happened, I found this out later, but we had asked and gotten the consent of the ladies, mostly, to have services in the basements of these homes right hard by where we were having the worship service. And there were two families that joined the church that first Sunday, and one of the men, I found out later, had been invited to go fishing on that first Sunday we were to open. He said, "Fellas, I just can't do it." He said, "They're having preaching or something down in my house, Sunday school." And he said, I just have to go. He came and joined the church. We have had a wonderful experience with him since. We had, the people were so thrilled with the results, and the mother church was so blessed with zeal and enthusiasm until we could scarcely contain ourselves. We started immediately to think about a pastor. We finally... We had a pulpit committee And we recommended to the church, after discussing with him if he would be able to come, the Reverend Mr. John H. Buchanan, Jr. Many of you know him as the son of Dr. John Buchanan, who was pastor for 20 years at Southside Church. We secured him as pastor, associate pastor of our church, and pastor of the mission. And we have had a marvelous experience, and we work together harmoniously. From its inception, the mission was, as we felt it would be, self-supporting. The 19 families which went to begin the work contributed $914.51. We kept a separate record of the mission from our church. We had the count together, but we kept a record. And we charged all of the expenses off to them, and all of the offerings, we kept it. And when they became a mission, we gave them credit, and they had a bank account to start with. In the last 3 months they were members of our church, they contributed $914.51. And in the first quarter, the first 4 months in the mission, they gave $1,144.28. It did them good to wean them off from us. We started them in